I actually like Taylor Swift. I do. There's nothing wrong with admitting it. You know, there was a story out yesterday, and then it was quashed, that Taylor Swift would be the halftime act at the Super Bowl. And then another report came out that she wasn't going to be the act. I'm sure they talked to her. I'm sure she said she would think about it. I don't know that there's any reason that Taylor Swift needs to be at the Super Bowl. Usually, people do it to try to sell, promote an album that's coming out. She doesn't need it. Anytime she has something to come out, it's off the charts anyway. All right, setting up hour number two. Obviously, the Eagles against the Redskins tomorrow. 6.5-point favorites. Mark Lawrence will be here at same time this week as he's every week, about 9:40. We'll talk about the games, college today, the pros tomorrow, the Eagles game. And the question I asked in the first hour, and people are commenting, why do people boo Carson Wentz? What did he do? If anything, the team's in better shape. And he didn't really hurt that much. They got draft picks for him. He didn't work out. You know, and I know he didn't listen to the coach all the time. But, you know, he's 2 years removed. Sometimes you got to move on. It's the first time they're playing him. And it is interesting to see how he plays against the Eagles. And there's no question. I'm interested to see how he plays, see if he has any more juice to, you know, that first game against your former team. Sometimes that hurts you rather than helps you. But we'll see. Six-and-a-half-point favorites. I wouldn't lay the points. But we'll ask Mark Lawrence about that, too. Ben Simmons, as J.J. Redick was kissing both butts of his rear end in a podcast. I think J.J. Redick's a fraud. But he was really a nice player at one time. Then the last few years he was stealing money. Couldn't defend. Wasn't as good a shooter. But whatever the case. So we had him on there and kissed his butt. But he said some things which I don't know that, well, it was wrong to him to allude that, you know, it was difficult to play there. That's part of being a professional athlete. Somehow, he got to figure it out, but he's got better players around. I think he's got better players around him now with the Nets if he does the right thing. And he's trying to justify the fact that he can't shoot on that podcast, and that's weak, too. No, I'm responsible for a lot of points, you know. But you got to be able to shoot. It is the NBA. The Britton Covey story was a fascinating story. Couldn't get into the player's lot last week because he had the wrong pass, and the guy didn't know who he was. But to Britton Covey's credit, such a grounded guy. Wasn't his fault. Didn't have the right pass. You know, all those things. So he totally understood. It's just how many guys would have done that without getting going ballistic. So it's nice. And our question this week to try to win the $100 gift certificate to DeBruno Brothers. Most memorable game from a former player against his former team, which would be here in Philadelphia. All right, let's go to, let me see where we go here. We're going to Bill. Bill, you're on WIP.
How you doing, Howard?
I'm great, Bill. Another day in paradise.
Another day in paradise. That's great. So, anyway, I'll give you my reason why we should boo Carson Wentz. And that is, he is now a Washington Redskin. And he could hurt us. And I think he is fragile and will not take the booing well. And so, therefore, you know, he will play worse against us. So it's not what he did in the past, it's what he is now.
Yeah, but that's not why people are booing him.
No, it's not.
You know, when you get to Philadelphia, that's, you know, I guess just to create a lot of noise, but and try to get in his head. That's not a bad reason. I understand that.
Okay.
It's not a bad reason, but that's not the reason that people are doing it.
No, it isn't. It isn't. But be the reason why I would.
Okay. All right. I got it. All right. It's Not terrible. All right, who is your player that came back to haunt his former team, so to speak?
DeSean Jackson, when he went to the Redskins after the first time he left us. Several times burned us in games.
Well, you know, he also, I think he did some things when he was with Tampa, too, against the Eagles, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, you're in the mix. That is a good one. DeSean Jackson did. He still had some juice left in the tank for actually a few years, I guess. Let's go to Bill. You're on WIP.
You just had Bill.
Oh, is that right? I'm sorry, Bill. Dennis, you're on WIP.
Howard, how you doing, my man?
I'm good. Dennis, how are you this fine morning, this fine Saturday morning?
I'm sharing a day with Bill Matz today.
What's that?
Bill Matz and I are sharing the same day.
Oh, is that right? Well, today is not his birthday. It's tomorrow, but I'm ahead of the game.
All right.
So today is yours, Sam. Well, happy birthday.
Tomorrow's also James Seltzer's birthday.
Yeah, I heard that, I guess, 100 times during the midday show.
Question for you. What's wrong with Bryce Harper?
You know what? I don't remember him getting off to quick starts, and it's kind of like starting over after the injury. Yeah, that's the only thing I can figure. He's just, you know, he's out of sync.
His average has dropped over 30 points since his return, and he's only got 2 homers.
Yeah, he's obviously not swinging the bat well, for sure, and that is an issue. And I don't know, at the end of the season, I don't know. I mean, it's just, other than he's trying to get himself back in. Sometimes when you're out of sync, you can go in the cage, you can do all those things, and it ain't working for him. And I don't know if he still feels it a little bit in his hand.
Do you think they should sit him?
You could give him a day off, but he won't accept that. he won't accept that. So could you give him a day off? Yes. Will you give him a day off? I'm not sure. Yeah. But that's where the manager's got to take control and say, hey, listen, why don't you just take a day off? You know what? I would do it today. I would do it. If you're going to do it, I would do it today.
Yeah. And tomorrow, as far as Carson Wentz, I hope we bury him, because the way he left town was disgraceful.
Well, yeah, but why? You know, so, but the Eagles made out better. Didn't they make out better? That's my question. Didn't they make out better?
Yeah, they did, but I'm saying with his actions, the way he threw our coach under the bus, basically, and you know.
He didn't say anything about him. He didn't follow all his directions. He didn't do everything he was told. He didn't throw him under the bus. He didn't say anything publicly.
Yeah.
He didn't say anything publicly. I mean, if he did, I missed it.
Yeah. Well,
I just don't understand it. He didn't do anything. Hey, listen, he's gone. It wasn't, as it turned out, once they drafted Jalen Hurts, wasn't going to work. And he didn't accept that well, and that was a problem. But that's not a reason to boo. If I ask somebody right now, who would you rather have, Jalen Hurts or Carson Wentz? You would
Jalen
tell me. Okay, so how did it hurt the Eagles? And they got picks for it. Didn't work out.
No, it didn't.
You know, I wonder if the people in Detroit, did Jared Goff play back in Detroit? I'm not Detroit, in back against the Rams yet?
No, I don't think so.
So, do you think they're going to boo him? No. Actually, the people, fans in Los Angeles, when they come to a football game, are comatose anyway.
If they didn't get that quarterback from Detroit, they would not have won the Super Bowl last year.
Stafford. Yeah, there's no question. It didn't hurt the Rams. It's the same thing with the Eagles. It, you know, they took a step forward.
Yeah.
And somebody mentioned, oh, yeah, they hurt the dead cap money. They could have signed a free agent last year. No, they couldn't. If they could have, they would have. That's the way I look at it. If they could have, they would have. But, you know, it's just. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't get it. Kyle sent me a text. Kyle, why don't you tell people why you would boo him?
Okay, well, when Carson Wentz requested a trade, he left the Eagles with the largest dead cap hit in NFL history, $33.8 million. That's a huge hole that they had to dig,
that's
had
one,
to dig out.
Yeah, but what they got out of it in a year.
They did, but, I mean, that was by how he's doing. Wentz kind of screwed them. I mean, did put them in that bad situation.
Okay, and who could they have signed with that dead cat money?
I don't know. I mean,
that's the whole point. You know, hey, listen, his requesting a trade probably wasn't necessary because they were probably going to trade him anyway because they were going to move forward with Hurts.
Yeah, maybe, but he did request a trade, and they were $33.8 million in the hole. That's
one player, but how much were they in the hole total? It probably wasn't much else.
I don't know, but I do know it was the biggest dead cap hit in NFL history. I don't think anyone.
I'll bet you there's half the teams in the NFL have at least 35 to 40 million dead cap money right now.
Maybe
not with one player.
One player, yeah.
Okay, but it's still, you know, the number's the number, regardless of who it was. It's, you know, I don't think it hurt them because they moved forward and they're moving forward and they're a better team. So it's okay. You know, for once you're wrong, but that's okay. That's okay. Hey, Dennis, who's your player that came back to hurt his former Philadelphia?
Well, didn't Cliff Lee leave and then come back?
Who?
Cliff Lee.
Yeah, but he didn't hurt him. Yeah, he didn't hurt him. Yeah, he came back.
Yeah.
But he didn't hurt him. I don't think he even pitched against him, did he? No, he didn't even pitch against him. So that wouldn't be a good one, Dennis. That would not be a good one. But that's all right. Nice try. No. It's just, no, it's who came back and hurt his former team. That's the way, you know, I'm looking at this thing. All right, let's go to Jim. Jim, you're on WIP.
Hey, how are you? Before I make my Phillies points, I want to say I think the Eagles will win 28-10.
Okay, so you'd lay the points, which I wouldn't do. I wouldn't play the game.
I wouldn't gamble on that, but I just feel they're going to win. Anyway,
there's a lot of people that will, yeah.
Right. Okay, about the Phillies.
Yes.
First of all, I'm going to tell you why you were wrong about the crowds. But first, let me say, are you aware that the Phillies have a winning record against the Dodgers this season? They have a winning record against the Braves overall.
Okay.
Okay.
Now they do after these two wins because they were one. Okay. I think they were one. But here's what I'm going to tell. Okay. Whoa. Okay. Now here I'm going to ask you a question. After Washington, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Miami, do they have a winning record against plus 500 teams?
Yeah, they have a winning record against plus 500 teams.
No, they don't. Overall. No, because they're 20-some games over 500 against Washington, Miami, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati. So that means, what are they, 17 games over 500 now? So that means against plus 500 teams, they have to have a losing record. I know the Dodgers is one game because they only played them seven times. Atlanta, it's one game. That's fine.
Well, wait a minute. Atlanta, they're 8-6 against the Atlanta.
Okay,
Braves.
Because they won the last two games. All right. Yeah.
Okay. So I know that you feel that they're no good. They can't even. They
no, I said they're good, but I don't think they're going to win in the playoffs. That's my point.
Nobody thought that Tampa Bay in 2008 would even be in the World Series.
Well, they didn't think, but they knew they were a good team.
Okay. Now,
Tampa's always a good team. They do a great job with their minor league player, with their young players. It's unbelievable. They really do a great job.
The last point I'm going to make is why you're wrong about the crowds. Number one, it's a football, basketball, and hockey town. Okay, that's a fact.
Well, okay, let me correct you. It's no longer a hockey town. When you get 6,000-7,000 people in a game, the hockey team's terrible. It's a basketball gets 20,000 because people always are kind into thinking they're going to win a championship. So it's a football town. I get that.
Right.
I get it. I don't care about the crowds. People complain. If the people want to come out, they come out. I don't have a problem if they don't come out.
The Phillies fans always been bandwagon jumpers, okay? And the weather, that was a stupid statement because they packed house with the Eagles when it's snowing, okay? It's just that the Philadelphia Phillies fans are bandwagon jumpers, and if they go to the World Series, they might do it.
Now, it's too many games. It's too many games. The game has turned into a less than exciting, and it's a shame because I loved baseball. It was a great game. It was a great. When I say great, I mean a great game. But with the analytics has just destroyed the excitement in the game. It's just terrible what they've done to the game.
Are you aware that if the Phillies were in the World Series and the Eagles played on the same day, that the Phillies still wouldn't pack the house because it's a football town, common sense, and that's it. They just do.
No, I get. It'd be close, but that's who cares? But they're not going to be in the World Series anytime soon.
The player that I feel that came back was Scott Rowland.
Did he do a lot against the Phillies? I don't remember that, but I'll check it. All right, Jim, you're in the mix, okay? I don't know. The World Series, well, they wouldn't be playing at the same time anyway. So that would never happen. If the Phillies were in the World Series, the Eagles and the Phillies wouldn't play at the same time. They would not play at the same time. So it wouldn't make any difference. 215-592-9494. It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Won't you be my neighbor? But we're at the Borgata. That's why it's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. And the Eagles play tomorrow. They should be. And I see no reason they won't be 3-0. But I'm not laying the points. I'm just not laying the points. It's just until, you know, I mean, I don't know who. Like, if they get to Arizona, they're going to be an underdog. Then I take the Eagles because I think Arizona's a fraud. But we'll see. But we got to get there first. I'm Howard Eskin. You got the numbers on speed dial. If you don't, put it in. 215-592-9494. We're at the fabulous, sensational Borgata. Isn't it a nice place here? Yes, it is. All right. We shall return. We'll get to your calls. Mark Lawrence will join us at 9:40. Hey, if you're in the restaurant, hospitality, casino business, listen up. Listen. You should listen. If you're in that business, you should listen. If your point of sale system isn't helping you sell more, earn more, or work less, well, you need to talk. You need to talk to my pals at PDQ Signature Systems, because they're going to help you. I'm telling you right now, you trust me on a lot of things, right? Trust me. PDQ has everything you need for success. That includes the best service and support in the industry. PDQ POS is the fastest POS. It's the easiest POS and the most reliable POS available. With PDQ, you will get the innovation and reliability your business needs to succeed. You want your business to get better. I mean, I don't even know why you don't even just make the call. Whether you have a single location restaurant or have thousands of locations, Joe Flynn, terrific guy in business, but a terrific guy in person too. Very philanthropic, really good guy. Just check it out. His team is great too at PDQ. They'll create a custom solution that will help your business grow like never before. It's why PDQ POS has been the top-rated restaurant management system for over 35 years. They got a history of great things. Trust me. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Check them out. Here is the website, pdqpos.com. Tell them the King sent you, and they'll send you an extra special, or they'll have an extra special offer for you. Schedule your free demo and business consultation. You can do it today, pdqpos.com. No wonder why thousands of restaurants have PDQ POS. It's simply, and I say this with all due sincerity, the best point-of-sale system available. Ah, oh, a little rock and roll here, a little rock and roll. It's all good. Bill, do the Giants have a winning record?
Giants are 74-77. They are under 500 now.
Okay. So against winning teams, they have total plus 500 teams. They have a losing record. What'd you say they were against the Cubs? Cubs, the Rangers?
Cubs, Giants, and Rangers. They're 1-12 combined.
So, and the Giants... the Giants are a losing team then.
They are, in fact, a losing team, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, they have a losing record against plus 500 teams. So, I don't know. I don't know what all that means when you get to the playoffs, but it's not a good sign. All right, let's go to Jack. You're on WIP.
Yeah,
by the way,
morning,
Jack,
Howard.
Just to let you know, and it's no connection here, Arthur has checked in from jail. So we will. He snuck in. So I'm going to.
What's he back in Arizona?
Yeah, he's in jail in Arizona. He's been in for over a year because he gets in fights out there. So go ahead. So we'll hear from from Arthur shortly. Go ahead.
First, I want to apologize to Mr. Albert Pujols. At the time that I voted him that he should retire, he proved me wrong. When you're a man that goes into the 700 club, you deserve nothing but praise.
Yeah, and he's not a cheater. How about that? 700 club, and he's not a cheater.
Yo, man, good for him. Good for him, man. Like I said, I have to apologize. I wanted him to retire like 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and now he's in the 700 club. I couldn't be any wrong.
He's probably got, what, high teens and home runs?
Wow, yo, he's awesome, man. Like I said, he proved me wrong. You know, it takes a man to say when you're wrong. He proved me wrong.
It's unbelievable.
Hey, Howard, a couple more things.
Yeah, two last
Howard,
night. That's how he got to 700, yeah.
Wentz, you can do nothing but ever boo that guy.
Okay.
He's a quitter. That's why. He didn't. That's what he did.
But he didn't hurt the team.
Yeah, no, it didn't hurt the team. Absolutely. It helped the team. But he quit, period.
Okay, all right, so now here I'm going to... The Eagles have won one Super Bowl in their history. Now, they won championships, but they weren't the Super Bowl. Without Carson Wentz, and I'm not going to defend what he did at the end and the fact that he didn't handle the situation well. I'm not defending him. But my question is, and I won't defend him, without him, would the Eagles have
a
Super Bowl?
I'll never say we wouldn't have won it without him. I'll never say we wouldn't have won it.
Okay, well, who was going to be the quarterback?
Anyway. Even without him, we would have won it.
And who would have been the quarterback? And who would have been the quarterback?
I don't care who would have been.
That's a foolish statement, Jack. That's just foolish. That's foolish.
No, it's not. Because at the end of the day, we won the Super Bowl, period.
Okay.
He quit.
That makes no sense. That makes no sense. Jack, is there bad air in South Philadelphia right now? Is that what's going on?
Yo, some people say potatoes.
Too much Italian, too much good smell from all that Italian food down there.
Howard, I keep telling you, I'm Irish French. I'm born and raised in South Philly, but I'm Irish French.
All right.
And another thing, Howard, Bryce Harper came back way too early, man. Your hands in baseball, you got to be able to hold that bat 100 miles an hour fastball.
Man, that's crazy.
I think he came back way too fast.
It's crazy. All right, who's the player that came back to hurt his former team in Philadelphia?
I don't know if I'm following the question directly. I mean, correctly, but I think it was Allen Iverson when he came back to Philly for his first game.
Yeah, but he didn't do anything.
Didn't he light him up for a 30 burger?
I don't think so. We'll check it. We'll check it, Jack. All right. Yeah, you have a great day. Let's go to Joe. Joe, you're on WIP.
Good morning, King. How are you?
Hey, Joe.
Yes.
Joe, after you, we're going to play Arthur. So let's go with your call. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I think the Phillies can make some noise in the first round of the playoffs, is what I think.
You know, would that be noise with drums or with yelling and screaming or actually winning
games? You got Wheeler coming back, you know, looking healthy. Hopefully we can get Nola pitching well in September. And anything could happen in the playoffs, Howard.
There we go. I love that cliche. Anything can happen.
Yeah, so, I mean, if we play the Cardinals, do you count us out before we get into the series?
I don't think they beat the Cardinals, but that's their best chance.
Right, right. But do you count us out before the series starts is my question.
No, I don't count. But I do against Atlanta or the Mets.
I do as well. But, okay. Again, right. We go back to that anything could happen, Howard.
I know. That's the favorite cliche. All right, who's the player that came back to hurt?
Well, this is a little outside of the box, but this guy embarrassed an organization, Pete Rose.
Well, he didn't hurt them on the field. That's what I'm looking at. I'm not looking at. He hurt a lot of organizations, so that wouldn't. I appreciate the effort, but that wouldn't work. You too. All right. Arthur, still in jail, is moron, dope, and a nitwit. Can't stop from fighting. But he checked in. Let's hear from Arthur. We got, Kyle, you got that?
Yo, genius. This is the criminal calling from Phoenix, Inc. Now, let's keep it real today because it's going to be short and brief. How about them Yankees? And another thing, how come your people in Philly don't even know it's still baseball season yet? All they want to talk is Eagles, Eagles, Eagles. It's baseball season. Now the next day, to rain on your parade. How about the New York Giants? Could you say this first place New York Giants? Correct. And your Eagles are going nowhere. And to all the Phillies fans, God bless America. And God bless the New York Yankees. Later, dope.
All right, nitwit. All right, first of all, Phoenix is not incorporated. I didn't know that Phoenix incorporated. So that's number one. The Giants will not finish in first place. So enjoy it while it lasts. And Monday night, it's like don't even pay attention to the game. Like, you can't root for either one of those teams. You cannot root for either one of those teams. And Arthur's still in jail, and because he's such a dope, I wouldn't be shocked. He's supposed to get out, I think, later this month or early October, unless he gets into another fight. Moron. Tom, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard, thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I got a feeling that Carson's going to have a good game against us, and I think whoever holds the ball in last possession is going to win the game. I'm not a fan of taking the points.
So are the people in Sea Isle with you? On board that you wouldn't lay the points?
Nah, I got a couple guys at my job site put like 500-600 on the Eagles, and I'm trying to.
Oh my God! Yeah,
I mean,
you can't put that much on and laying points. They may cover, but I couldn't do that.
I think it's going to be close. I'm thinking 90% sure we're going to win, but my two concerns are Carson can have a good game, and I think the reason why. And I have 2 points, is that we are not getting any pressure. I don't care what they say. We're not getting Buddy Ryan pressure. We're not getting Jimmy Johnson pressure. That's what we're used to. We're used to slapping them guys down in the pocket.
I'm going to give you something. Pressure is important. Sacks may be overrated. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Right. Remember when they were 4-11-1? You know they were third in the league in sacks? They were third in the league in sacks. What good did it do them? They were 4-11-1.
It's the
pressure. There's no question. You got to, and there's certain quarterbacks who you got to be careful that don't. They don't get rid of the ball quickly. Then you can you can do that. It's situations, and that's what Jonathan Gannon said the other day. Situations present that. So,
of course, it's a perfect example to get some pressure, or really pressure, because.
Well, you got to pressure Carson Wentz. He gets rid of the ball, but he can get rid of it quickly, but sometimes by trying to make a play, he holds on to it too long. All right, who's your player that came back to hurt the Phillies?
I think he's
not the Phillies, but any team, any Philly.
Yeah, I think he's a personal friend of yours, too. I'm going to say Charles Barkley.
You know what? It's actually not bad. I don't know what he did against the Sixers, but he played great.
Oh, no, he beat him up a couple times when he came back with the Suns.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah, he almost stepped on one of our guys. I forget. I remember there.
It's not a bad thought. All right, Tom, thanks for the call. All right, we're going to come back with Mark Lawrence to take a look at the weekend football. All right? 215. Well, actually, we'll try to get some people in at the end, so there's no reason to give you the number. We'll come back with Mark Lawrence, take a look at the college, the pros, see what he thinks about the Eagles here at the fabulous, sensational Borgata. And here's what's happening at Borgata. Now is the time to experience everything Borgata has to offer. I want to thank them for the birthday cake for Bill Matz, my producer on site, who is has a birthday tomorrow. Nice, nice birthday cake prepared by the pastry chef here, Deb Pellegrino. Experience, you can also experience luxurious hotel rooms, award-winning restaurants, exciting nightlife, big-name entertainment, all just steps away from a spacious casino filled with your favorite games. The action at Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa does not stop. Start planning your getaway today. Reveal your riches during Borgata's, get this number, $11,111,000 Scratch It Rich promotion. It goes on now through October 31st. Play your favorite slot games to earn prizes like Coach Watches, JBL Speakers, Cash, Free Play, and more. Great, great, great place. Plus, two lucky winners will win a 2022 Lexus RX 350 at the grand prize drawings. And the first drawing is today, which is September 24th, and the second drawing will be on October 31st. So there's so many good things. The rest are everything. Everything is sensational. For additional details, check them out, theborgata.com. Oh, it's another fine day here at the Borgata, mixed in with some fine music, but also mixed in with some plays for the weekend, and to help us with that is Mark Lawrence. Mark, how are you this fine Saturday?
I'm doing just terrific, Howard. How are you doing?
Another day in paradise here at the Borgata. But there's a game that I don't even get why a guy bet $100,000. We'll get to that after you tell me on a game that, like, where did that come from? All right, so let's start with the college football. Who do you like today?
Look at the two inside-out dogs. They won as touchdown underdogs last week, and now they're more than touchdown favorites today. Big, big swing in the lines. We're going to play Duke plus 7 against Kansas. Kansas, really an upstart football team with the new head coach, but they've really struggled against undefeated teams. They're only 1-23 the last 24 games against undefeated opponents. And you've got Duke, who's dominated the Big 12 Conference. The last four times they played them, they've won and covered all four football games. I think Duke plus the 7 has a chance to win this game.
All right, who else do you like?
The other guy's going to be Southern Mississippi. They're taking 12.5 against Tulane, who just upended Kansas State as a 14-point dog last week. Lost the stats, won the game, but lost the stats. You got Southern Mississippi. This is where teams tend to play down to the level of opponents when they pull big upsets in phony fashion. Southern Mississippi plus the 12.5, I believe they get the money here as well.
Is Notre Dame, now North Carolina is not a bad team, but when's the last time you saw Notre Dame as an underdog to North Carolina?
Well, they don't play them all that often for openers, right? But you know, you usually don't see Notre Dame as an underdog to too many teams in the ACC conference, maybe perhaps right, other than Clemson. So it's rare, but it's there for a reason. You know, the fact of the matter is Notre Dame's not playing good football, and North Carolina is sitting here right now laying in the weeds on this football team. I think the move is the right move. I think North Carolina is the side in this football game.
All right. There was a player here at the Borgata that bet $100,000 on Central Florida. who the heck is Central Florida playing?
Playing Georgia Tech.
Okay, Georgia Tech. Like, where did that come from? It's just... And he took Central Florida, who's obviously getting points, right?
No, Central Florida's laying a ton, okay?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Georgia Tech's a bad football team, right?
Yeah, all right.
So they're looking for the route here is what they're doing.
Right, but playing 100, it's 21, right? So
right.
It's 21. Can you imagine why that's the case, other than Georgia Tech stinks?
The only thing I see inside this is you've got a Central Florida team that appears to have finally woken up, won a big football game, their last football game, and there's word that Georgia Tech head coach Collins, Jeff Collins, is probably on the outs, and this is his last year for the program. So he right. probably sees two teams going in different directions here. But other than that, I have no clue as to why he would want to put 100 large on a game like that.
Think about that, 100 on UCF. It's unbelievable. All right. Let's. That is. There's no look ahead games that you see, right?
No. You could possibly say that maybe TCU looks ahead to Oklahoma next week. They're playing SMU today. But you know, it's still a big rivalry with SMU. So I would discount that. The fact of the matter is, there are no big games on tap next week. There's no marquee type football game. So. Okay. Really, nobody's going to be caught looking ahead today.
All right, let's take a look at the pros. Who do you like?
Pros, we're going to take a look at a couple of red-faced underdogs, or they're taking points from favorites that were red-faced and embarrassed last week. First is going to be New England taking 3 against Baltimore at home. Baltimore, obviously, that whacked out loss that they had against Miami last week.
Terrible.
I mean, unbelievable. I mean, blow a 21-point fourth-quarter lead in a game like that. What I like here is two things. Number one, Harbaugh from Baltimore, Jim Harbaugh, is horrible as a favorite after losing as a favorite. He's just 3-10 to the spread. The other thing is New England has never lost at home against Baltimore in the Bill Belichick era in regular season games. They've hosted them 6 times. They beat them all 6 times. I don't know if this is Baltimore ready to get back up on the carpet after that embarrassing loss last week. I've got to play New England plus the 3 here.
All right, who else do you like?
The other guy's going to be Tennessee, and I'm going to fade Las Vegas here. And hard to say which of these two teams is in better psychological shape. But the way Las Vegas lost last week was when that bizarro finish, unbelievable to Arizona, I think catches up with them here. Tennessee has got the better coach here. They've got Mike Vrabel, NFL Coach of the Year last year, against Josh McDaniel, who's still learning on the job here. And I don't know why Las Vegas is favored in this football game. It's just a name and reputation type thing, I guess. But Tennessee loses their home opener. They don't lose too many games in a row, twice in a row at home. I think Tennessee ends Las Vegas season because teams that start out 0-3, Howard, just don't make the playoffs by the end of the year.
A couple of road teams. Green Bay against Tampa. I do like Green Bay. I don't know. Would you like a side there?
I like Green Bay here pretty good. You know, you've got right now the Lions like a +1 or pick 'em for Green Bay because of the Tampa Bay injuries. There's some Green Bay injuries here as well that should be noted. But what I like here is two things. Number one, this is revenge for Green Bay when Tampa beat them in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago when Tampa went on to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
And number two, you've got Tampa coming home after opening up the season with road wins and covers in their first 2 football games, and that's a horrible row for teams to play in their first home game of the season in Game 3. I think Green Bay's the better football team, and I got to like them over Tampa Bay.
Tough game, but I don't like Denver a little bit. That's why I kind of like San Francisco. Do you like a side there?
I like Frisco. This is a football team that, you know, I think it's going to end up proving the best move made in the National Football League this year is the one that didn't happen, and that's when they didn't get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yep.
I think he's going to end up saving this football team here this season here, and they've got a lot of talent, a very, very well-coached team, and this is probably the coaching mismatch of the week. You take a look at Kyle Shanahan, you take a look at Nathaniel Hackett here, it's all San Francisco here. I like them to win this football game as well.
All right, let's take a look at the Eagles. Who do you like? 6.5 points is a lot of points.
It is a lot of points. And, you know, a big rivalry division game here. Eagles have gotten off to this terrific start. You've got the Carson Wentz factor here. Whether it plays into the game or not remains to be seen. He's going to have to deliver the goods himself. I think it's a real, real tough call here. I think the Eagles win this football game. I don't know if they get the money here.
Right.
It's just a tough spot for them to have to ask to go onto the division road and lay a touchdown in a game like this. I probably take the points with the Commanders here.
All right. It's just and Monday night, what a waste of time. I don't even know. In Philadelphia, you don't want either one of them to win. You want them to both just not finish the game. It's just terrible. I'm not even going to ask you about the game. It's what a waste.
You've always got the possibility of a tie, Howard, okay?
Yeah, I know. It's just, and watch it be a pick 'em. Then it'll be a tie all around.
There
all right,
you
if
go.
People
yeah.
have interest in Mark services, 800-321-7777. It's another fine day here at the Borgata. mixed in with some fine music, but also mixed in with some plays for the weekend. And to help us with that is Mark Lawrence. Mark, how are you this fine Saturday?
I'm doing just terrific, Howard. How are you doing?
Another day in paradise here at the Borgata. But there's a game that I don't even get why a guy bet $100,000. We'll get to that after you tell me on a game that, like, where did that come from? All right, so let's start with the college football. Who do you like today?
Look at the two inside-out dogs. They won as touchdown underdogs last week, and now they're more than touchdown favorites today. Big, big swing in the lines. We're going to play Duke plus 7 against Kansas. Kansas, really an upstart football team with the new head coach, but they've really struggled against undefeated teams. They're only 1-23 in the last 24 games against undefeated opponents. And you've got Duke, who's dominated the Big 12 conference. The last four times they played them, they've won and covered all four football games. I think Duke plus the 7 has a chance to win this game.
All right, who else do you like?
The other guy's going to be Southern Mississippi. They're taking 12.5 against Tulane, who just upended Kansas State as a 14-point dog last week. Lost the stats, won the game, but lost the stats. You got Southern Mississippi. This is where teams tend to play down to the level of opponents when they pull big upsets in phony fashion. Southern Mississippi plus the 12.5, I believe they get the money here as well.
Is Notre Dame, now North Carolina is not a bad team, but when's the last time you saw Notre Dame as an underdog to North Carolina?
Well, they don't play them all that often for openers, right. But you know, you usually don't see Notre Dame as an underdog to too many teams in the ACC conference, maybe perhaps right. other than Clemson. So it's rare, but it's there for a reason. You know, the fact of the matter is Notre Dame's not playing good football. And North Carolina is sitting here right now laying in the weeds on this football team. I think the move is the right move. I think North Carolina is the side in this football game.
All right. There was a player here at the Borgata that bet $100,000 on Central Florida. who the heck is Central Florida playing?
Playing Georgia Tech.
Okay, Georgia Tech. Like, where did that come from? It's just... And he took Central Florida, who's obviously getting points, right?
No, Central Florida's laying a ton, okay?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Georgia Tech's a bad football team, right?
Yeah, all right.
So they're looking for the route here is what they're doing.
Right, but playing 100, it's 21, right? So
right.
It's 21. Can you imagine why that's the case, other than Georgia Tech stinks?
The only thing I see inside this is... you've got a Central Florida team that appears to have finally woken up, won a big football game, their last football game, and there's word that Georgia Tech head coach Jeff Collins, is probably on the outs, and this is his last year for the program. So he
right.
probably sees two teams going in different directions here, but other than that, I have no clue as to why he would want to put 100 large on a game like that.
Think about that, 100 on UCF. It's unbelievable. All right. Let's. There's no look ahead games that you see, right?
No. You could possibly say that maybe TCU looks ahead to Oklahoma next week. They're playing SMU today. But you know, it's still a big rivalry with SMU. So I would discount that. The fact of the matter is, there are no big games on tap next week. There's no marquee type football game.
Okay.
So. Really, nobody's going to be caught looking ahead today.
All right, let's take a look at the pros. Who do you like?
Pros, we're going to take a look at a couple of red-faced underdogs where they're taking points from favorites that were red-faced and embarrassed last week. First is going to be New England taking 3 against Baltimore at home. Baltimore, obviously, that whacked-out loss that they had against Miami last week.
Terrible.
I mean, unbelievable. I mean, blow a 21-point fourth-quarter lead in a game like that. What I like here is two things. Number one, Harbaugh from Baltimore, Jim Harbaugh, is horrible as a favorite after losing as a favorite. He's just 3-10 to the spread. The other thing is New England has never lost at home against Baltimore in the Bill Belichick era in regular season games. They've hosted them 6 times. They beat them all 6 times. I don't know if this is Baltimore ready to get back up on the carpet after that embarrassing loss last week. I've got to play New England plus the 3 here.
All right, who else do you like?
The other guy's going to be Tennessee, and I'm going to fade Las Vegas here. And hard to say which of these two teams is in is in better psychological shape. But the way Las Vegas lost last week was when that bizarro finish, unbelievable to Arizona, I think catches up with them here. Tennessee is has got the better coach here. They've got Mike Vrabel, NFL Coach of the Year last year, against Josh McDaniel, who's still learning on the job here. And I don't know why Las Vegas is favored in this football game. It's just a name and reputation type thing, I guess. But Tennessee loses their home opener. They don't lose too many games in a row, twice in a row at home. I think Tennessee ends Las Vegas season, because teams that start out 0-3, Howard, just don't make the playoffs at the, by the end of the year.
A couple of road teams. Green Bay against Tampa. I do like Green Bay. I don't know. Would you like a side there?
I like Green Bay here pretty good. You know, you've got right now the Lions like a plus one or pick 'em for Green Bay because of the Tampa Bay injuries. There's some Green Bay injuries here as well that should be noted. But what I like here is two things. Number one, this is revenge for Green Bay when Tampa beat them in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago when Tampa went on to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
And number two, you've got Tampa coming home after opening up the season with road wins and covers in their first two football games, and that's a horrible role for teams to play in their first home game of the season in Game 3. I think Green Bay's the better football team, and I got to like them over Tampa Bay.
Tough game, but I don't like Denver a little bit. That's why I kind of like San Francisco. Do you like a side there?
I like Frisco. This is a football team that, you know, I think it's going to end up proving the best move made in the National Football League this year is the one that didn't happen, and that's when they didn't get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yep.
I think he's going to end up saving this football team here this season here, and they've got a lot of talent, a very, very well-coached team, and this is probably the coaching mismatch of the week. In you take a look at Kyle Shanahan, you take a look at Nathaniel Hackett here, it's all San Francisco here. I like them to win this football game as well.
All right, let's take a look at the Eagles. Who do you like? 6.5 points is a lot of points.
It is a lot of points. And, you know, a big rivalry division game here. Eagles have gotten off to this terrific start. You've got the Carson Wentz factor here. Whether it plays into the game or not remains to be seen. He's going to have to deliver the goods himself. I think it's a real, real tough call here. I think the Eagles win this football game. I don't know if they get the money here.
Right.
It's just a tough spot for them to have to ask to go onto the division road and lay a touchdown in a game like this. I probably take the points with the Commanders here.
All right. It's just and Monday night, what a waste of time. I don't even know. In Philadelphia, you don't want either one of them to win. You want them to both just not finish the game. It's just terrible. I'm not even going to ask you about the game. It's what a waste.
You've always got the possibility of a tie, Howard, okay?
Yeah, I know. It's just, watch it be a pick 'em. Then it'll be a tie all around.
There
all right, if people have interest in Mark's services, 800-321-7777.